Just feel the breeze, the companionship, the support of the council, the truth of your knowing, the exploration of your journey, the magnificence of the path you have chosen. That's really what we want to focus on, the last one. You've chosen a path of magnificence. You've asked yourself to do something remarkable. You've brought in an intention to have an experience that's never been had before. You've invested lifetime after lifetime after lifetime in the process. You've given yourself a chance to do something unique. You've faced many obstacles. You've presented with courage when fear would have been easier. You've stood up for your principles when capitulating to others' patterns and habits and desires would maybe even be the wiser course if you wanted to stay the same. You've brought yourself into a position of deep knowing, even when the knowing is just more uncertainty. You've facilitated biological change in a human form through your consciousness. And you've gifted your planet, your community, your world with a transformed energetic for exploration. Sure, sometimes things suck, but you have a plan when they suck. And sure, sometimes things feel like they can't possibly continue this way. Yet you know on the other side of it, there'll be the sun. There'll be the fresh breeze. The birds will sing again, and you too will want to get up and dance. No matter what occurs, you have the ability to have a different relationship to it than your initial impulse might involve. None of these are small things. None of these came to you lightly or easily even. All of them were an opportunity taken. You are an opportunity taken. You are the road less traveled, but worth the journey. The result of your transformational cycle sits in the chair, breathes, expresses, knows, and offers. You are walking a path that has not been walked before. You have taken the steps to allow yourself to experience something brand new. In that process, you've shed a lot of baggage. You've dumped static. You've resisted the temptation to be in the past or the future. You've committed to anchoring yourself in the moment, even when it feels terrifying. And the end result of all of this is a big, fat, letter U on your superhero jersey that says uncertainty. And over the last month or so, you've allowed yourself to look at uncertainty with fresh eyes, transform the idea that uncertainty is bad into an idea that uncertainty supports the truth of me being present in the world. We honestly can't say too much more because it is such a magnificent process you've been through. Such a magnificent offer you've given to yourself and such a magnificent contribution you give to your planet, to the brotherhood of man, to the universal energy, to Source Creator. You think of yourselves too small. You look up into the sky at night and you see stars and you think, Wow, I'm small. It's not that you're small, it's that the universe is vast and there's a difference. You occupy a precious position in the universe. And many other things do as well. But take a claim to your precious position in the universe because nowhere is anything like what's going on in you going on. Therefore, you are as unique as they come. And you have a unique offering to give. And you're now in a position where that offering can be moved into the world and walked in the world and shown to the world. Go walk it. And if you're challenged or scared or frightened or habit screams and yells and static and baggage pound on your door, keep your focus on the reality of you, which is that this too shall pass by transformation. This too shall transform as I've seen so many other things transform. This too shall transform. Keep that in mind. This too shall transform. And the result is transformation rather than focus on static sluggishness. The same. This too shall transform, and this too shall give me the opportunity to know the truth of me. This is the gift you give. First, you give it to yourself, and then it's given to all. We thank you for your contribution, and we say good night for now, but there's plenty more coming. There's no certainty here. There's no certainty in the blueprint. There's no certainty in the plan. There's no certainty everywhere, anywhere. There's no certainty in any aspect of all of it. Changing your relationship to your desire for certainty has been a long process. And that long process is coming to a tipping point. You're coming to a point where you will not look for certainty anymore. Can you imagine the freedom that will offer? The way you get there is to say, wow, look, I'm looking at certainty. Anytime you look for certainty, you are limiting yourself, keeping yourself from the potential you have to offer, running old patterns. Certainty will never give you what you want. Did you hear us? Certainty will never give you what you want because certainty is asking for you to be in a false energetic state. Certainty is asking you to hold still, to have it dialed in, to have it figured out, to have one answer. There is no such thing. Therefore, when you crave certainty, you crave something false. And when you crave falsehood, where do you end up? Not hard to figure out. You end up unhappy. You end up in suffering. You end up in disappointment. You end up in confusion. You end up in low vibration. If you find yourself looking for certainty at all, this is a big, big, big red flag. Like earlier, you were making plans to have the meeting in a different place. And so you're talking about, oh, pick me up at this time, and oh, take these cords and pick up these microphones, and we'll do this and we'll do that. On some level, what you're looking for there, in the old way of looking at it, you'd be looking for, okay, I want to know what's going to happen so I can feel safe. What we'd like to put into your thought process is, great, now we have a plan. Let's see what happens. Your plan is the place that you build from, not the place you conclude to. Did you hear that? You make a plan. We're going to be in Napa. We're going to go here. It's going to be 4 o'clock. We're going to eat these foods. Great. And then let that be the compost from which the experience grows. So it's not wrong to plan. It's wrong to feel like your plans put a cap on the experience in order to look at certainty and safety. So I'm going to go off to Disneyland this weekend isn't, okay, I'm going to go off to Disneyland, I'm going to get out, the, I'm going to leave at this time, I'm going to arrive at this time and stop at this gas station and go to, oh. It's funny when you talk about doing a trip that way, but the truth is what you guys do sometimes when you want things to be a certain way so much to feel safe, you make plans of that kind of nuanciness. Catch yourself, catch yourself, catch yourself. And when you find yourself doing that, say, that's right. In this moment, I already have my compost. I've already planted my seeds. Now I'm going to allow it to grow. And as it grows, I can prune, I can pull out, I can weed out, I can do anything I want because that's my free will. We don't go with the flow. Whatever grows is fine because it's growing. No, 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 no. It's whatever I want to do as I state preferences in each moment as it grows. As it grows, I state preferences in each moment so that I am pruning the experience to continue it following my free will. But if you decide ahead of time there have to be 5 sunflowers here and 7 come up, you're going to be in a conundrum. And if 3 come up, you're going to be in a conundrum. So how about, I want some sunflowers here. I'm going to put some seeds in, see what happens. If 0 come up, that's something interesting too. When we give you really concrete examples like traveling or sunflowers, it's easy to see it. Where you don't see it is when you want something to be a certain way and you lean into it in a way that limits it. Don't limit it. Don't limit it through your desire for certainty. Invite expansion by opening to uncertainty. Invite expansion by reveling in the place where it's not certain. But keep stating preferences so that you groom your environment. Do you understand? Okay, then we're going to go. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, where were we? We're going to have some water. So we have some very important additions to the uncertainty talk that came up during a private session that we definitely want to share with you guys. Veronica's trying to remind us of them. That's okay. We remember one and the other one will come. We don't want to get out the whiteboard because it's too much of a pain in the ass. But when we talked about the circle of possibilities, right? Everybody's on the same page. When you talk about the circle of possibilities, you're in the middle. The circle of possibilities is around the outside. It became clear that there was potential for misunderstanding about one aspect of this. We want to really dial this in. The potential for misunderstanding lies in the idea that, let's say you want a new house. Okay. The idea that on the edge of your circle is a house that is the right size and costs the right money and has a garden and room for the dog or whatever is right there. And you're here and there's that space between and you're clearing things out so you can get that house. Right? That's kind of how we described it. Okay, well, we messed up. On the circle of possibilities is every house. Every house. Okay? Every partner, every car, every job, every whatever else thing you guys want. Real estate agent, yes. Everything. So let's pretend with our circle possibilities, this much section counts all the houses out there, all the apartments, whatever, 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 right? This whole range. What you're doing when you're here at the middle and you're going toward the side and you're clearing is you're clearing out so that you have all the possibilities then become options because you are an abundant universe. Those options, then you get to use your free will and whatever the hell delights you to pick from. So it's not there's one great apartment that I can rent. It's there's an infinite number of apartments in all ideas that are going to be available to you when you clear your shit, baggage, static, habits, past and future temptations, out between you and appropriate housing. So it's not like you're looking for that one apartment you feel like you can afford that you can live in. It's, I want to clear out what's between me and all good living situations, all appropriate living situations. Because really, you want to have choice. You are an incredible being. And to only have one option makes no sense to us. You want to have options, choices, possibilities, all the color crayons. Today you like that one. Tomorrow you want that one. This is what we want for you. Another thing that's very important. When you state your preference, remember in the possibilities thing, we said you state a preference and you make it a short factual statement. Just because you state a preference doesn't mean that's what you end up with. And we mean this in the best possible way. When you're uncertain and confused and upset and stressed out and low vibrational and you're trying to get out of that mix-up feeling and you state a preference, it's probably not going to be the preference that you actually would want if you were feeling better. It's just your first sort of foray into stating a preference. So let's say you're like, oh, there's no apartments for me. There's no apartments for me. There's no apartments for me. I just want an apartment where I can feel happy, period. Okay, well, that's a reasonable short factual statement. And then you do the uncertainty thing and you come around, you do it some more like we've talked about. And at some point you realize your preference has really been evolved. And maybe now your preference is, I prefer to have a home where I feel like I can live high vibrationally or where I can live consciously, right? What we saw energetically was that when you guys stated that first preference, you thought that sort of set things in stone. And that you couldn't evolve that preference. It was sort of like, okay, well, I got to bring it along with me. I have that preference over here and I kind of have to bring it along with me. And I can add more preferences on, but I have to kind of take all of them. No. You state your preference and it allows you to clarify your further preference. And the other ones, the guardians will just, you can, if you need help, ask the guardians to drop them off. You can just drop them away. You can drop them away. You can drop them away. Because sometimes what happens is you start out with a preference and it's not actually what you're even talking about. Like you might start, let's say really the truth is you want a home where you can live in a high vibrational way, but you start off with, you know, God, I just need a place I can afford, right? Or I need a roommate because I can't afford my condo, right? And so that isn't actually the preference you want to manifest because that's a very limited view. The preference you want to manifest is a high vibrational place to live. But if you feel like, oh, well, I already started manifesting a roommate, you might kind of slow down the process. Instead, replace your preference if you need to, rather than stack them up. Okay? Is that sinking in? Okay. That's important. We had the other one. Okay. When you are doing the Circle of Possibilities tool and you engage with possibilities out here. If those possibilities start to feel limited, you will bring the survival instinct online. More cake and pie. Oh, well, we now have 3 cakes. Oh, and a platter of fruit and pizza. So we have 3 possibilities. You get it? Possibilities. 3 cakes, 1 gigantic platter of fruit for 12 people. Apparently, there's going to be snacking going on later. There's already been snacking. When you're in a position to engage limitation, we should say it a different way. When you experience the possibilities on the Circle of Possibilities tool, when you experience them as limited options, like this one thing, when you think there's only one apartment, let's say, we'll just keep with our same example. Lack, right? Mm-hmm. But you know what rides on the coattails of lack? Survival instinct. Fear, survival instinct, right? If you don't see possibilities, you will have to do battle with the survival instinct. If you can feel possibilities, the survival instinct stays quieter. You see possibilities by recognizing, okay, there is more than one apartment. And that sometimes just takes spiritual discipline to say, there's not just one. Now, if you live on Main Street or you live on Cherry Street, you're going to have a different experience in each, but it doesn't mean one would necessarily be better. It just would be a different experience. So yes, there are different experiences to be had. That's why you have free will. That's why you have discernment. That's why you have, oh yeah, you know, that would have been interesting and this would have been interesting, but this is the one that feels high vibrational, conscious, connected, the one I want to go for. And get, you know what? If I go live on Main Street and I decide I don't want to live on Main Street anymore, I can manifest another one. So it really comes down to recognizing that Circle of Possibilities tool is about all possibilities. And that's going to help quiet the survival instinct, and it's going to help you have choices, options, where possibilities become options. And by options, of course, we mean choices, right? You know what we mean by options? Like right now, you've got four kinds of Girl Scout cookies, or three? Four kinds of Girl Scout cookies, three different cakes, and fruit. And pizza. And pizza. You guys couldn't have picked a better night to be very abundant with your snack choices, because this is exactly what we're talking about. So let's imagine that somebody said, wow, you know, it's birthday time. It'd be really great if we had some snacks. Or you had fruit, or you guys brought a pizza. You just said it'd be nice to have some snacks tonight, right? Well, now you have... what was the count? Three? Eight? Eight choices. You get it? And so now everyone gets to say, which one do I want? If I want any. Right? Which one do I feel like having? Because there are eight. So everyone who brought a snack had in their mind that they had a preference for there to be a snack and a preference for there to be that community sharing. Everybody apparently has no baggage, static, or habits around bringing that in because everybody almost brought something with them. And now we're in abundance, and we're in abundance of choice. Okay? And this is something that you all, as Homo sapiens, have not ever really experienced. How frequently do you feel like you're in abundance of choice? Not so much. Probably not ever. Like, this is a really rare experience. Like, what happens is sometimes you get an invitation to go to something, and of course you only get one a month and you get two for the same day, right? Same day, same time, that always happens. Even then you're not in abundance of choice, because your abundance would be that they'd be on different days so you could go to both of them. So there's a sense in the Homo sapiens paradigm, and we strongly believe, of course, this is because the survival instinct jumps in, that choice is dangerous. That choice is not allowed, that choice is not a possibility, that choice is not in your birthright.
Well, which one?
She's got something to say.
It's like, which one is the right one, probably, you know.
You're very quiet on the microphone, by the way. And that's actually an interest. Say that again.
Which one is the right one, probably, is what comes up.
Mm-hmm. The right choice?
Right.
Yeah. And that is even interesting, because even that's kind of a position of lack. Like, I could screw up, right?
Oh, yeah.
I could make the wrong choice. You guys have that all the time. I could make the wrong choice. I could make the wrong choice. And that, again, is lack. So what we really are moving toward from a Homo spiritus perspective, remember we've said from aha to aha, in a state with no opposite, this is a place where options are abundant. And you state preferences and move through those options in whatever order you find fascinating and delightful. Go ahead.
I ran this by Veronica a few days ago, and maybe it's just you know, me big braining and mind fucking.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. Good, strong possibility. But it's been occurring to me lately that there's a little bit of a quandary. Maybe it's just me. You know, between making choices and stating preferences between what does the 3D or Homo sapien or attempting to be Homo spiritus part of the being.
God, you're explaining this in a very confusing way. We don't have
souls. How can you be sure what preference is the soul's perspective and what, you know, just like your 3D personality wants?
Okay. So when you clue into your preference, something comes up and you state a preference about it. Part of going through that process over and over and over again allows you to bring in your soul's perspective. Because see, when you make your first preference, like we talked about, I just want some place to live. That's not soul's perspective, right? That's human survival body. When you go through and you start looking at baggage and static and habits and all that stuff, and you start clearing it away and you get into clarity, you're making room within you by removing all that crap for the soul's perspective to come in. And that's why clarity feels different as you go through the process over and over again.
I was thinking of something more along the lines of what if your soul's perspective wants to experience, you know, life without a right arm or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a drastic example, but
okay, that's a good one though. So if you believe your soul's perspective says, hey, it'll be really cool if you get your car or your arm cut off in a car crash. Okay.
Well, that wouldn't be a preference that my 3D body would pick.
Probably not. And the reason why not, though, so this is important, why you wouldn't pick it, is the survival instinct. The survival instinct says that is too risky. We might bleed. It's going to hurt. We can be in the hospital. It's going to be awful, right? Whereas the soul says, yeah, but it's going to be transformational. It's going to be growth. It's going to be this. It's going to be that.
Hmm.
So it's kind of two sides of the same coin. And it's always that same coin. The coin's always flipping between, am I going to choose high vibrational soul's perspective? Am I going to choose low vibrational survival instinct, fear driven? Now, of course, this is a really radical example. And almost everybody we could talk to wouldn't want their arm to get chopped off. However, that doesn't mean that you wouldn't learn a hell of a lot about yourself if your arm did get chopped off.
So what you're suggesting is that if you're really tuned in, if you're stating the preference, I don't know, dealing with the static and baggage, that your soul's perspective, if you got in touch with the fact that your soul's perspective wants you to live in a two-room shack,
yeah,
and that's what you end up, you know, because your example of the ultimate, you know, rentals,
yeah,
place or something. But if your soul wants to experience living in a two-room shack, in the process of looking at the static and baggage, you would realize that that's what you...
Yeah.
It would seem appealing to you, or you'd realize that's your soul's perspective.
You would feel clarity that there's something to be gained by living in a two-room shack.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a two-room shack. It would be, wow, I'm going to go live in a simple way, right? Because you wouldn't have that charge on, it's a fucking two-room shack. I can't believe you want me to go live there. It would be, well, I'm going to go see what it feels like to live in a primitive kind of fashion and get back to the earth or connect to nature differently or something like that. So
you could use the opposite too. You're going to live in a giant mansion that would push your buttons of green and politically correct.
You have so many buttons that can be pushed as well. Exactly. So the idea, you have to be really cautious about the idea that your soul's perspective is being forced on you, because of course we know you can't tell you guys a damn thing. So that's a little bit of the energy that we're feeling. It's like, well, what if my soul's perspective wants to do something horrible that I don't want to do? You trump, because you have the body. You trump every time. However, we'll just use Veronica's example that she came up with, right? She got to clarity that she was doing too much computer work, too much stuff that was taking away from her ability to work with us more closely. Now, she said, I'm just not going to do it. Now, on some level, it could be career suicide. Like, a lot of people could probably think, well, how are people going to find out about you? How are you going to keep, you know, making money? La, 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 la. But on the other side of it is the knowingness that the investment she can make in our connection when she's not doing all that stuff is the path to something new. So if the path to something new is to live in a more humble way, it won't feel like it's being fostered on you. It will feel like it's facilitating you.
It feel like it's that's your idea or your path or
it'll feel true.
It'll feel true
and you'll say, wow, this is a weird truth. I don't know what I think about it. And you can run through and run through and run through the tool again. Like Veronica, wow, I don't know what's going to happen if I do this, but I know it has to happen that I do this. Period, full stop.
Yeah.
And not everybody, we'll just say it this way, not everybody has the balls to do that, to follow clarity. Because there's no certainty in clarity. Remember, oil and water. There's no certainty in clarity. So when you get to clarity and then you act on it, you are walking the path of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity goes with uncertainty. Remember, those are the friends.
Yeah.
They pair up. So clarity makes you uncertain, which brings you possibilities, which makes you have more options to become more clear.
Yeah. The example of Veronica is just that she felt very, very strongly, intensely in her body that this is the right thing to do. And rather than, you know, think about it, she just did it.
Yeah.
That was the uncertainty part about what was going to happen.
Yeah. And so the evolving of that is completely uncertain, right? Because it's brand new. It's only been a week. So the evolving of what happens when you stop doing marketing. Who knows? Nobody knows. Well, we know, but we're not telling. It's not for you guys to know. No.
I'll reserve my opinion.
If you wish. Do you need to share your opinion?
Well, it goes along with the do to get thing that I've always been fascinated with. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt like, I mean, it seemed to be something that Veronica wanted to do, you know, to do the marketing. But it didn't seem like it was working. Mm-hmm. And it felt like do to get to me. And rather than just letting it kind of evolve. But it's a knife's edge sort of thing. Like, how much do you sit back? How much do you, I mean, you have to constantly, am I going with the flow? You know, that's no good either. So you know.
That's a good point. Are you going with the flow? Are you just saying, forget it. I'm sick of it. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And not doing anything. And you could be, one could be, but that's where you have to keep going back into clarity. Go back into clarity, go back into clarity, go back into clarity.
Yeah.
And check in and say, am I still operating from clarity? Do I need to evolve my sense of clarity? That's another good question. You know, you don't rest in clarity. Remember what we said.
Right.
You rest in uncertainty. You guys hear that? Yeah. That's the resting place. You don't rest in the clarity. You cannot rest in clarity. You rest in uncertainty, which brings up the survival instinct. If you know, that whole thing we've been talking about for a month.
Well, uncertainty to me is the circle of possibilities.
Hmm? It is.
There's no difference between.
Yeah. It's that. Uncertainty equals. Now this is one of those equal signs. That's okay. It equals the circle of possibilities, but infinite possibilities.
Infinite, yes.
That's the thing we wanted to clarify before. Because it's not, I'm uncertain about how I'll get that apartment. Right? It's uncertain which of these 100,000 apartments I will end up in.
Mm-hmm.
But my preference is, and my clarity is, and my soul's perspective, the ahas I get. Tell me to, for some reason, go over here today and look at this apartment or whatever, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the destination isn't really the point. It's kind of the journey, right?
And the thing is there's no such thing as a destination, really. Because in each moment, you're in a journey. So even if you move into a new house, each moment, right? Unpacking, putting the furniture where you want, laying out the rugs, whatever you do, you're not done. And then once you're all moved in, then you're living. So that's actually a really good point. It's not something like where you say you break a bone and you put a cast on it to hold it still so it can change. It moves, and that's how it changes. Mm-hmm. And survival instinct's going to want it to hold still, right? Survival instinct's going to try to put cast on it, immobilize it so nothing disrupts it. Well, uncertainty is one constant disruption, but it's the truth of you. You are uncertain. And that resisting that truth is something that we will not stop talking about until we feel you guys completely shift that. Because that's going to make you have the opportunity to be homo spiritus, is when you, when your ability to acknowledge that it's always changing, always different, always moving, and in each moment you can be the completeness of you regardless. You can be the completeness of you regardless. And then when shit hits the fan in various ways, you know how to be the completeness of you no matter what. It's really, really, it can't be overemphasized. It cannot be overemphasized. So if you have to listen to this again, or if you have to, we'll just keep saying it over and over. Look to live in uncertainty, because it's the truth of you. And the quest for certainty, the quest for same, the quest for safe, the quest for hold still, only distracts you from knowing the truth of you. So the sooner you go, uncertainty is my friend, and literally can live there and seek it out because you know that's the place of possibilities, the sooner you'll be able to move the energy that you need to move in order to live constantly in a homo spiritus framework. Because the liberation past that point, where you get to where uncertainty is your place that you live in, the liberation past that is that then every possibility literally does exist for you. That's the opening. And the fact that you're all one becomes completely true to you, because the truth of the oneness has never been moved. What has happened is acknowledging the oneness has triggered the survival instinct. Because, oh my God, if we're all one, then do I have to give you my food? Do I have to give you my house? Do I have to give you my car? Right? That's just examples. So the truth that you're all one can't scare you, because it just becomes more possibilities that you're comfortable with rather than more places to feel lack. This is big. Go ahead.
Well, that brings for me more clarity on the fun versus delight, because mm-hmm. uncertainty needs to be fun. Mm. Not so much fun like a giddy child's fun, but more like fun as the creator mm-hmm. has fun. And I'm coming to grips with that. Mm-hmm. Now, the concept of delight, clarity possibly being the light of delight, I don't know. That's where I'm working right now, and I'd appreciate some input on that.
Well, when you come to yourself and you say, okay, I'm looking at clarity and I want to assign an emotion to it, you got to be really, really careful, because all of your emotional states come from lower vibrational places than where you will be when uncertainty starts to become comfortable to you. It's a brand new frame of reference. We've said before that when you start the spiritual journey, at least according to our methodologies, when you start the spiritual journey, the first decision you make is that you're a creator, not a victim. Until you make that decision, we can't help you, right? Everything we teach is based on that truth. Now here we are down the road a little bit, and we're at a new place. And that we have an equally important decision, maybe even more important, that says uncertainty is the place where I abide. Everything that you would bring to this moment as far as comprehension has to be reevaluated and mostly left behind, because it cannot exist in the place of uncertainty. Because everything you've brought to this moment has been brought to this moment in order to make you comfortable or ignore or forget or hide from uncertainty, instead of not make you comfortable, ignore, hide, and forget, instead of supporting you being in it in a healthy way. None of those things that you had to lean on in the past, as far as like coping mechanisms, will do any good. So we would say, don't look for delight. Look for revelation of what is actually your state of being when you are able to experience uncertainty in a new way. And don't label it. Don't look for a label. Look for it to tell you what it is. For it to tell you what it is. Because you're in a, you know, you're in a new land. And when you go to a new land and there's food, you don't know what the names of the food are. Because the names you had before don't apply because it's new food. And that's really how it is. When uncertainty becomes the place where you abide, nothing that you have used to make sense of yourself before this is actually going to help you much. That's why we had to spend years getting you ready to be in a place where your sense of self isn't tied into your circumstance. Your sense of self isn't tied into how much money you have or what kind of car you have or who you're dating or who you're married to. Where your sense of self is the truth in you emanating regardless of circumstance or situation. That allows you to experience uncertainty from the potential of expansion that it is. From the potential of expansion that it is, rather than the sought after single outcome that certainty demands that you find. So don't look for delight, look for revelation of what it is. It might feel uncomfortable for a while, and if it's going to feel uncomfortable for a while, it'll be triggering. But what we'd love for you to do is keep telling your truth about it. So if you're triggered by being in uncertainty, you just say, I'm triggered by being in uncertainty. I'm tempted to be triggered, right? Use the I'm tempted tool. Use short factual statements. Tell the truth about it. Tell the truth. What is true now? How many times have we told you? Most important tool we ever gave you. What is true now? I'm in complete uncertainty and I'm tempted to be triggered about it, but I also know I can see it as all infinite possibilities and look for an aha. You got it? Do we have to say that this is really important, or did you get that it was really important about 20 minutes ago? Well, you probably know, but we'll just say it. This is, we are at a place now of evolutionary jump. We're at an evolutionary jump. And you've done deep work to get here. And now that you've gotten here, don't fuck it up by going back to what didn't work before just because you're a little nervous about what you're doing now, right? Because that's always that temptation is you be conscious, consciousness gets you what you want, and then you are in what you want in an unconscious way. This is that don't pass, go directly to jail, don't get your $200 thing, right? So you do something amazing. Or something happens, you're amazingly conscious about it, and then you get into a new state and you go unconscious because you want to cling to it instead of being more conscious so it can expand.
It's more feeling getting up here than an idea.
Okay.
It has to do with the word making proposal, or this phrase, making proposals to people to get your needs met.
Okay.
And there seems like a discontinuity of coming at the world with my knowledge and feeling like they don't have the same insight. And it's almost like there's a disconnect of how can we communicate with these proposals when our sort of frame of references is so different?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And that's one of the things where along this journey, sometimes people have to completely turn over their contacts, turn over their friends, even sometimes their family lives. They just have to say, I'm so different from you, I don't even know how we can communicate. Someday we get back to oneness, but typically there's this big overhaul of your friendship base in the process. And for you specifically, that lack of ability to connect has habitually caused you to be more low vibrational. So what we would say is when you have that inability to connect come up, remind yourself, what is my truth? What is my truth? Don't match energy with their truth. Stay with your truth. So your truth is, wow, I'm having a hard time communicating this to you. I'm going to try a different way. Or maybe we're just not a good fit, right? maybe we're just not a good fit is doesn't mean you're wrong, doesn't mean I can never be your friend, doesn't mean you're bad. It just means maybe we're not a good fit in this conversation. And maybe, just maybe, I can trust my Sasha self to connect with somebody else about this, because I'm going to stay in my vibration rather than match yours to try to solve this conundrum I'm in. And that's really what we see you doing, is
chameleon-wise, yeah.
Is coming into that position where your perspective on it is valued by you more. You've always known that you had talents and skills and abilities, but sometimes when you get into conversation with people who are at a different vibratory rate than you, you get confused by the need to connect with them rather than the need to stay connected to your own truth.
Yeah, I'll work on that. Thank you.
Yeah. Jump up. We have time.
Are you cold?
No, I like it.
Well, Marilyn's cold. Okay. Veronica's feet are getting a little cold. So can always crack this door if the wind's not coming from that way.
I think you mentioned it already, but seeking clarity around this idea, when Mary was talking and you were, you know, she was using the example of all these possibilities and, you know, moving into a two-room shack kind of a thing, made me think, so if there's, if you suddenly have all these possibilities and you are drawn towards one more than the other, like, let's say moving, you move into an apartment and you get there and you go, oh God, I hate this. Mm-hmm. Is it now restating preferences again?
Yeah. Well, now
you just continue to restate your preferences.
Then, you know, I hate it. Therefore, mm-hmm. I've got some preferences to state, some baggage to clear, you know, looking at why I decided to pick this one. If now I hate it.
Okay, you know, so it's just... It's
maybe you didn't feel you deserved or were worthy of a nicer place.
Okay.
So, you know, there's baggage. If you're not in bliss or serenity, there's baggage.
Okay. And so where we're moving into or where we are now, it's still the stuff of coming around again, but at another layer of us, another level.
You mean we're talking about the thing we said about the decision you're making to be in an uncertainty in that different layer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What has happened is on the ascension path, on the movement to Homo Spiritus, there are levels. And we don't have them all listed out, but probably if somebody spent, you know, a year going through all our material, they could discern these different levels we've done. We basically have to stay in the moment of the energetic, so it's hard for us to go back like that. Mm-hmm. But in this moment of this energetic, let's say it a different way. When Veronica was taking calculus, the teacher got up in front of the board and she wrote out this big, huge, long equation proof thing. And she said, I don't expect any of you to understand this today, but there has to come a point into your life, at some point, on some moment, you have to be shown this foundational material. And we will spend time helping you understand it all. But right now, I'm just going to give you this foundational information. And then we'll grow from there.
Okay. That's
That clicked in.
Yeah.
Be like somebody coming to you and you know, in the old days, the first thing you would teach them is to mix colors, mm-hmm. right? You're not going to teach them brush strokes if you don't have any paint to work with.
Right.
So you teach them to mix colors or prep canvas.
Right.
Right. There's a place that you start.
Mm-hmm.
With this idea about uncertainty, it's certainly more important than just learning a new skill or learning calculus. But what we're doing is saying there has been a truth about you all. And that truth is you live in a very uncertain world. You have all been doing your damnedest to avoid that truth for centuries, decades, lifetimes. We are at the point now where this foundational information of you can't keep avoiding the truth of uncertainty and continue to evolve, at least from our perspective. So it's time, just like the calculus getting put up on the board, for us to lay it out and then we'll work on it together.
Okay. That's clear. That makes sense to me. So that that's what I was seeking.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
You've always been in uncertainty, and you're just now becoming aware of something that you've resisted all this time. We're just going to think, we just had an example pop through. Hang on just a minute. Let's say you have a child, right? And all your child's life, you've been giving it food. You kind of have to. But the child doesn't know you cook it. The child doesn't know you go to the grocery store. The child doesn't know you grow it in the garden. The child just knows it sits down and someone sticks a spoon in its mouth. At some point, the child becomes aware, there's more going on here than I thought. It never was untrue that the child needed to eat. It never was untrue that you guys were in uncertainty. It was just you had coping mechanisms to not have to know all the details of it. And just like the child, at some point, learning to cook its own food, buy its own food, grow its own food is a necessary aspect of being alive and growing and evolving, right? You guys having a different relationship to uncertainty, that's probably the best example we've come up with. So we don't want to say like uncertainty just flew into the picture from outer space or something. It's always been here. You've just never dealt with it in this way because it wasn't the right moment to deal with it. And now it is. And you can imagine in our example, the child could probably go, what do you mean we have to cook the food? It doesn't just come out of jars? Like, what? It takes, you know, an hour to do all that stuff, right? I just thought it came out of a jar. Veronica's going, yeah, I did. Still wishing it did, actually. But the point being, that child had to eat all along, and you had to deal with uncertainty all along. And one day you went, and now we're going about the idea that uncertainty is a fundamental reality of being human, that you have done your damnedest to ignore, avoid, and sweep under the carpet because the survival instinct has not known what else to do with it. And as we evolve our relationships in the survival instinct, we have the opportunity to uncover uncertainty's power, which is the power to access all possibilities. So you get a big payoff. Just like if you're a little kid and you've been eating out of jars for 5 years and all of a sudden you go to the grocery store, right? You look around. Just imagine. You've been eating out of little jars for 5 years. You walk into the grocery store. Just in the vegetable aisle, you'd probably have your eyes fall out of your head because they'd be boinga, 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 boinga back and forth in your skull, right? And then there's all the cans. And then there's the meat department. And there's the candy aisle. And what you've thought is just this little jar was all that you were entitled to. And now all of a sudden you look up and you say, holy crap. Maybe not if you're five, but you guys would. Holy crap. There's a whole store here. And then, you know, your mom says, and by the way, this isn't the only store. What? This isn't the only store? You could go other places and have other stuff? Yeah, and then if you go to India or Canada or Australia, there's even other different stuff in other different kinds of stores. Whoa! And all along, what you really thought is all you deserve was a little bitty jar and one little spoon. But, you know, that little jar is safe, it's secure, it's fairly certain, so long as someone else brings it home to you. It's always been certain for the whole 5 years you were a kid, let's say, right? Mom just, you know, was just always in the cupboard. Every time I wanted one, there it was. That's certainty, man. And I felt safe. And I got to learn about what it feels like to feel safe. Okay, that's important. You've learned what it feels like to feel safe in limitation. Now, let's see. Oh, Veronica's getting so emotional. Just a moment. Now let's see what it feels like to be your truth in infinite possibilities. You know, we didn't say safety in uncertainty. Because safety, like we said to you, mm-hmm. is too small of a goal. Mm-hmm. It's too small of a goal. To be your truth in infinite possibilities and to give yourself permission to dance in the delight of the options that unfold. Let's just breathe a couple moments here together and be quiet and just let that, just let the energy of that, just let the energy of that be, just let it wash over you. Just let it wash over you as this radical way of reevaluating, revisiting, re-knowing yourself. Just allow that to pop. Just let it settle in. It may not know where to go, but just let it sort of wash into all your cells. Don't need to know it. Just allow. Just let the energy happen. We know it's early, but we're going to end the meeting tonight. We're going to end the meeting now. That's enough, really, for everybody, we think. Thank you. Good night, everyone. We love you deeply.